Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. So get ready, put your feet up, and tell me, how does that make you feel? Here on LA Talk Radio, the most irreverent, cool, and entertaining internet talk show in the whole world, absolutely. Time to get your head straight, make you feel better, and learn a lot, as you always will here on the couch. 11 in the morning, usually Pacific Standard Time here in beautiful Los Angeles, but broadcasting throughout the world. And today, as always, a super show going to help you out with a lot of your stuff. Especially, you know, feeling down and in the dumps, as we always do occasionally, right? We have dumpster days, as my special guest calls it. But also, it's a lot more than that. It's just kind of rolling through the tough times in our lives. You know, how do we deal with things that happen to us? How do we cope with the bad stuff? And what's going on if it's all happening at once? You know, our boss laid us off. The company's cutting down. Or my partner left me. Or I'm still having some of those old lack of self-confidence things. How did I come off in that particular discussion? Or how are they perceiving me? Am I not enough of enough? Or my dog died. And or everything at once is hitting you. And then you're incorporating all those old negative messages you got when you were growing up into your life. And you're a mess. It's not fun. You're dealing with all this stuff. Basically, you're in the dumpster. So today we're going to be talking about getting out of the dumpster with my special guest. May I invite you also to call in if you have, you know, a propensity to get your voice on the air. 323-203-0815 here in Los Angeles. 323-203-0815. If you're shy, I always say go for it and email me. straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. Right here at the station, live, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Apologies in advance if we don't get to your questions, but hopefully the ones that we do get to, first come, first serve, we can answer some of your questions, because a lot of people have, you know, real similar feelings and thoughts and are going through the same thing. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest. Okay, so his name is Dr. Reggie Padden. And he's an optimist. I love his bio, because this is, you know, you get all these accolades usually from authors. And this guy is just awesome. He's not only an intellect, a writer, but he's also just a darn good guy. And he helps people, too. So besides being an optimist, a visionary, educator, entrepreneur, writer, training and development expert, executive coach, and ordained minister, he's very humble. His academic credentials include a master's in divinity, a master's in business administration, and a doctorate in education. And when he's not inspiring and training others to come out of their dumpsters, he's most likely attending a sporting event or visiting a unique restaurant or simply just thinking. So we're going to find out more about him and how to get out of the dumpster. The title of his latest book, A True Story on Overcoming Limitations. Dr. Reggie, welcome to the couch here.
Oh, my goodness. What a wonderful introduction. Thank you for having me.
Well, you're welcome. Well, it's true.
And, thank you.
I love your humility. I really appreciate that a lot, because you do so much for so many people, man.
I've been accused of many things, but being humble is not one of them.
Okay. Well, let's kind of just jump into this.
Sure.
No pun intended. jump into the dumpster of life, the dumpster of life. What are dumpster moments, as you call them, Reggie?
You know, what I call a dumpster moment is anything that limits you for a very long time, something that you feel like just can't get out of, that prevents you from reaching your goal, from reaching your aspirations, from reaching that next level in your life.
Yeah.
I call it a dumpster moment.
Okay.
And so in a nutshell, that's what it is.
I love that. I think it's really true. I mean, people you've heard before say, I'm so down in the dumps. And that's exactly what you're talking about, right?
True, except for me, you know, the original dumpster was an actual real dumpster that I had to climb out of.
I know. I'm reading this. I'm going, oh, my God, Reggie.
And so my own actions or lack of action as a young person, I ended up being instead of dumpster hauling garbage by hand for the company I was working for because they were going out of business and they couldn't afford a waste management company anymore.
Oh.
And so my boss called me in and said, hey, listen, I want you to get one of our trucks and back it up to every single dumpster around the company and jump in there, haul every piece of garbage out of it, put it in the back of the truck and drive it to the landfills.
Oh.
And so my original dumpster moment was an actual one. I was chest deep inside a dumpster in the middle of the summer, and I had a wake up call. I said, "This is not what I want for my life."
Oh, bless your heart. I know, and I really love the book too because you share a lot of personal experiences that you had that are really rough. I mean, I'm reading this stuff here and I'm going, Reggie. But now you're a doctor.
Yeah.
You're an educator. You're a minister. It's amazing how you have lifted yourself up and out. And so you say that
Dr. Michelle, real quick. I mean, so what I found out after I pulled myself out of the original dumpster is that throughout my journey, I've had to face other dumpsters. And that's where the idea for the book came from.
Yeah.
Because I feel that it doesn't matter who you are. You could have all the money in the world or no money in the world and be in a dumpster. You can be the CEO of a company or you can be somebody working in the mailroom and still be in the dumpster. You can be living here in the United States or somewhere else in the world and still be in a dumpster. So this is something that everybody faces.
Yes.
And something that we can, I believe with all my heart, something that we can overcome.
It's so true. I mean, you know, I've run into, met a lot of, and, you know, been on a lot of shows here where I know a lot of successful people who are so-called really superstars and or very powerful directors and producers. And, you know, they are billionaires, let's face it.
Yeah.
So they're not living la vida loca. They're having a tough time, man, because of all of the emotional garbage that's going on in their hearts and in their lives.
Yeah.
Yes. I was just at one of the spiritual centers that I go to a lot yesterday. Just kind of needed to meditate in the morning. I went out there and I saw one of the biggest producers in the world sitting there kind of in front of the chapel with his head hung in his hands. And I thought, dude, I mean, you know, we see folks all the time here in this area. So I thought, I'm going to talk to my man Reggie about this. Because no matter who we are, you know, we do have dumpster moments. So
Everybody does. And I tell people that one of the easiest ways to get in a dumpster is when we lose purpose in our lives.
Yeah.
That's why it doesn't, I mean, all the money in the world doesn't mean anything or not having money doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It's when we lose that sense of purpose. Why are we here?
Yes.
What are we to do?
Yes.
What is our call? What is our call to, you know, on this life? Am I just, you know, taking up air or am I meant for something more?
Yes.
And the minute we lose sight of that purpose is, you know, we start feeling down and out and we start walking aimlessly from here, you know, here and there, from one relationship to the next, from one job to the next.
Yeah.
From, you know, one bad situation to the next. And we may have peaks and valleys, but it seems like we can't, you know, like we're on a treadmill.
Right.
You may be going really fast or really slow at times, but you're not really moving. You're not gaining any ground. So
that's right.
Purpose has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, purpose is so important. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio, and my special guest, Dr. Reggie Padden, and he's the author of the new book, which is really awesome. It's well-written and a wonderful self-help book. Get Out of the Dumpster, A True Story on Overcoming Limitations. Not one of your kind of blah, blah, blah. Yeah, right. I'm going to try to do this. It step by step tells you about Reggie's literal journey out of the dumpster and kind of becoming a doctor of education, helping people, a minister, a writer, an entrepreneur, an executive coach, and all that stuff. So read the book because it'll lift you up. We'll tell you in a little bit how you can get a hold of the book and find out more about Dr. Padden. But what do you say to people that say, I can't find my purpose in life? What do you do?
Yeah, that's a good...
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal with that. Number one, you have to spend some quiet time. And we live in such a noisy world. We are influenced by so many things that are outside of us that sometimes it's very difficult to listen to that voice inside of our heart.
Yeah.
And so I tell people, I said, look, I know that you have a busy life. I know that you're a little lost right now. Go to a park somewhere. Mm-hmm. Go to the beach. Mm-hmm. Go to a lake. Go to a monastery. Go somewhere where you can just spend some time with your own thoughts. Take a piece of paper if you can and a pen and start thinking about your life, your childhood, those things that really brought you joy growing up.
Yeah.
Those things that brought you a sense of energy.
Mm-hmm.
What I have found is I found my purpose by looking at my past and saying, okay, what were those things when I was growing up that made me feel really, really good about myself?
So
I found out that for me, I've done many, many things in my life. But for me, one of the constant things that I keep coming back to, that I cannot run away from it, even if I tried,
is helping
people.
There you go.
Is help coach people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why if you look at my trajectory, you know, even in the dumpster days or in my college days or in my my minister days and my executive coaching days, I've always helped people. Think through their lives, think about what they want, better their relationships, you know, or just process their thoughts. I've always done that from the very beginning.
Yes.
And so I said, I'm not gonna fight it anymore.
Yeah.
And I decided that this was it for me. And what that does is that, I mean, not every day is a good day. I have my moments. I have some bad seasons. You know, sometimes it's more than just one bad day. Sometimes it's a bad year. But I can always go back to, okay, but this is my purpose. This is what I'm called to be, what I'm called to do. I'm going to trust that. You know, I'm a very spiritual person.
Yeah.
And so I believe, in my case, I believe that God has me here for a reason. You can call it God, you can call it the universe, you can call it whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But
there
is a purpose for your life. There's a call for your life. And so if you live it out, you're gonna feel like you have purpose, and those dumpster moments won't last in your life.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We just got a real quick email I want to share with you. This is what you do for people, Reggie. This is awesome. Okay, this I'm telling you, wow, this is really cool. This is from Justin. He says, hey, Reggie, I love that. Thank you for your help. I was always teased as the fat kid in school, and I used to lose myself in my computer. Then I got a little bit older in high school, lost the weight, started working out, and I'm a manager at an Uber successful computer company here in Los Angeles. I just worked on myself, and that was my gift when I was a child. So, you know what? Yeah. We turn, thank you so much, Justin, for that. You're awesome. We turn adversity into the positive things, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's always, you know, I tell people that dumpster moments, dumpster moments will always be with you, by the
right.
way. It's not
yeah.
like you can't run yeah. away from them. If you look at the art cover of my book, there's a very successful guy in a business suit overlooking the city. So
right.
he's very triumphant. But very close by is this blue dumpster.
Right. right. I love that.
It almost feels like this dumpster's constantly following us.
Yes.
And it's true. Yep. Dumpster moments can be great universities.
Yep.
It can be great moments, great teaching moments.
Yes.
It all depends what you do with it.
Yeah.
You can look at the negative things happening in your life and have a victim mentality and say, why me, why now, why always?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can look at this situation and say, what do I need to learn?
Right.
What
right.
can I do with this?
Yeah.
How can I improve my life and become even a stronger person?
Right.
And if I become a stronger person, I can help other people become stronger too.
So
and
true.
And so don't look at your problems and your dumpster moments as I mean, they're negative because they really stink. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, literally.
But you can look at that situation and say, I'm going to learn from this. There's a lesson here somewhere. I'm going to become a very stronger person. Like the person who just sent that email, you know, he was made fun of.
Yeah.
And he took that and it was fuel for him. To change his life, and today he's a success.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So he took his dumpster moment and made it
right.
his very fine, successful moment.
Yeah. You know, you talk about also in terms of dumpster moments, Reggie, you say failure is good.
Yeah.
I'm saying
yes.
failure is good. Okay, you got to explain yourself on this one, Dr. Reggie.
Absolutely. You know, we've been taught from the very beginning
mm-hmm.
that failure is bad.
Right.
Just think about that one time that the teacher in school asked a question and you thought you had the answer. You put your hand up and you bursted out the answer.
Yeah.
And it was the wrong answer. And all the kids laughed at you.
I know.
And the teacher looked at you cross-eyed. Like, I can't believe you just answered that, right?
Right.
Because, by the way, a lot of people around us in our surroundings are not very supportive and not building you up. You know, they're going through their own stuff, right, to build you up.
Yeah.
And so we are programmed. Our minds are programmed to think that if I fail, that means it's bad. However,
right.
however, when you look at successful people, I don't care. I mean, name somebody, and
right.
I will point to you. The many and multiple and horrific failures they had in their lives. And without those failures,
right.
they would not be a success today.
Right.
So
right.
I had a conversation, I had a very a privileged conversation with one of the richest men in the world. In fact, he's somewhere on any given week.
Yes.
He's in the top three.
Whoa.
And so I won't name the name.
All right.
But you figure it out.
Yep.
Go to Forbes list and find it.
I'll do
and
it.
And so I had a conversation with this person, and he said, look, I encourage my people, and he has a huge organization.
Yep.
I encourage my people to make mistakes.
Yes.
To try. Because making a mistake means that you are actually trying.
Yep. Yep.
So playing it safe means that you're not trying.
Yeah.
And when you stop trying, you will, you can't grow.
Oh,
when
no.
I came to the United States, I couldn't speak English.
Wow.
And so I was very scared of speaking in English because when my you know during my first attempt,
yes,
I was laughed at.
Oh, well, that's
and
not
so
fun.
It was a,
yeah,
it was a failure,
oh,
right?
Bless your heart.
But I
yeah.
kept failing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kept failing. And today, you know, I have reached the, you know, the highest levels of education.
Yes, you have.
You know, it's what they call a terminal degree, right? There's nothing else after this.
That's right.
And so I wouldn't be here today
Yes, exactly.
If I had stopped trying. And so that's why I tell people, look, just try it. You're going to fail. That's good. Dust yourself off. Learn from those failures, you know, because that's the difference between, you know, smart people and not so smart people.
Right.
The smart people will commit the failure, learn from that failure so they don't make the same mistake again.
No.
The not so smart people will make the same mistake over and over and over again, and so they never learn from those mistakes.
Exactly.
And so that's what I mean. Failure is good. You have to embrace it.
Yep, exactly. And I know you're familiar with Esther Hicks' work. You know that. And Abraham and all that stuff. And one of her things she's says is, you know, you got to feel the contrast, baby. You got to feel the contrast. And unless you have that contrast of the negative and the positive, you're never going to know and appreciate that wow moment, that positive, that high vibrating moment, you know. Guys, you're here on LA Talk Radio with Dr. Michelle on the couch and my special guest with me here on the couch. We're chilling together, Dr. Reggie Padden. He's the author of his latest book called Get Out of the Dumpster, A True Story of Overcoming Limitations. And he is one person who actually did that. And he is now an amazing giver to the world. Optimist, visionary, educator, entrepreneur, of course, writer, training and development expert. He's also a teacher. He's a PhD in education, ordained minister, on and on. But a humble guy, helping folks out with this book. And in a little bit, we're going to tell you how you can get a hold of the book and, you know, find out more about Reggie and his journey, you know, into improving himself. And guys, if you want to email me a question, go for it. Reggie and I are up for the task. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. If you are brave, want to get your voice on the air, you can call in too. 323-203-0815. Live here in Los Angeles. So we're talking about getting out of the dumpster and making your life a lot better and some of the kind of steps you can take. And you know, Reggie, you and I always get working with clients. Yeah, but... Yeah, but I tried. Yeah, but so right. It's really tough sometimes. So you talk about so many different things, 9 ways actually, to shift our mindset from victim to positivity. We just sort of have to download new thoughts to create that new change in our lives. So we talked about being responsible for our lives. But there's so many people that don't get and make excuses for. Yeah, this is so-and-so's fault. It was my parents' fault.
Sure.
And it was my boss's fault or my lover's fault or whatever. So how do you deal with that? Hmm? How do you tell
that's a real tough one. And let me just say that I was in that camp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could blame anybody and everybody for my shortcomings and my failures. And the reality is that today, or you know, at any given point, you are the sum total of your own actions.
Yep.
Those steps that you've taken, not anybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use your past experience as an excuse, or you can use it as fuel.
Yeah.
For where you want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that complaining never got me out of the dumpster.
Yeah.
Complaining never made people feel sorry for me.
Yeah.
You know, you may here and there you may get a handout. Because people really, really, I mean, you're really in the dumps.
Yeah.
But that's very temporary.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you have to realize is, no, wait a minute. This is not going to help me because guess what? Nobody really cares.
Yes. Nobody. Sad, but
you
true.
You have to care.
Yeah.
And so I tell people, snap out of it, you know. I had to snap out of it. So I'm not telling people something that I didn't have to do myself or I don't do myself.
Right.
You snap out of it and you say, no, this is me.
Yep.
The reason why I dropped out is not my upbringing or my parents or the lack of support.
Right.
It's me. I was the one who made the decision.
Yeah.
And so, and even in those cases where life happens to you.
Right.
There's you know, ladies will be, you know, become pregnant and they have to take care of their child. And so they have to, they end up dropping out of school.
Right.
It's okay. That is temporary. As long as you go back and then start taking the proper steps in order to get yourself out. And that's why I say dumpster moments, we always face them. We will always be there, but it becomes a dumpster if we remain there, if we don't do something about it. So I tell people, look, take responsibility. Do the things that you need to do. Find your purpose. Mm-hmm. Learn everything that you can about what it is that you want to do in life.
Right.
Become an expert. Become really good at it. Focus on excellence. Mm-hmm. And keep marching. And you're going to see how your own mindset, you're going to catch yourself.
Yeah.
Whenever you make up an excuse, you're going to say, oh, here I am again.
Yep.
Making up excuses.
Yeah, that's right.
Or whenever you feel down, you're going to say, oh, here I am again.
Yeah.
I'm feeling sorry for myself, and that's not going to help me anything. It's going to make me worse, actually. It's going to make me overeat and lose sleep and drink more and, you know, do all sorts of crazy stuff. No, let me find some positive ways to reinforce my purpose in life.
There
and
you
what
go.
I'm supposed to do.
Exactly.
And so that's how you take responsibility for your life.
Oh, so true. You know, I loved your part of the book where you said that this was so cool. To compare yourself is to scare yourself.
Absolutely.
So we all do that, don't we, Reggie?
No, I mean, you know, one of the things that I have picked up is my exercise routine is I do something called powerlifting.
Okay.
And powerlifting is, you know, as opposed to going to the gym and trying to, you know, keep up with the guy next to you or the girl next to you to see who can push more weight.
Yeah.
This is something that you keep track to see how good you're getting, how stronger you're getting.
Yes.
It's you versus you.
Yes.
And so the minute you start comparing yourself with somebody else, which is a horrible thing to do, because guess what? No two lives are alike.
Yes.
Right?
It's so true.
We all are
exactly.
We're all different.
Yeah.
We all come from different parts and different, even if we come from the same neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
The same city.
Yeah.
We come from two different households. In fact, you can be in the same household and you're not the same as your parents and your siblings and your grandma.
Sure.
You're an individual.
We have our own soul personality. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so if you start comparing yourself, that's how a lot of people lose heart.
Yeah.
Because it's all of a sudden they say, well, I'm not earning as much as that person. I'm not as pretty as that person.
Ugh,
I am not as smart as that person. I'm not as strong as that person.
Yeah.
No. What you have to do is, am I improving today over what I was, who I was yesterday, and the day before,
I like it,
and the week prior, and am I doing better today, both mentally, emotionally, physically, in my relationships, and my giving to the world, and my contribution to this life? Am I doing a better job today than I was last year?
Yeah.
And the year before.
Yeah. Exactly.
And the minute you do that, I mean, let me put this up. I'm a very driven person. I'm a very competitive with myself.
Yeah.
And if I look and I keep track of my, you know, my day planner and, you know, and my writing, if I see that I am not better today in my, let's say, in my love for others, in learning something new, and in my fitness, then I know that I have to change something.
Yeah.
So I can become better. Yeah. And what that does as well is it gives you that much needed self-esteem. It means, you know, a lot of people are like, self-esteem is elusive. And it's because self-esteem really, our lack of self-esteem is when we start comparing ourselves to the world, to some, you know, what other people want for our lives, or what society tells us that we ought to be or not be. And when we start hearing or listening to all these voices and we stop listening to our voice, then we can't measure up, because guess what? You can never measure up to the standards of other people.
Right.
That's where self-esteem really, you know, goes to the floor. And if you spend too much time there, then it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Exactly.
It just becomes worse and worse.
You know, it's so true, Reggie. Guys, if you tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio. And we're talking about his latest book, Get Out of the Dumpster. It's a true story on overcoming limitations. We're inviting you to call or write if you have questions. And that email here, right into the studio, is straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Hey, Reggie, we just got a really interesting email, which is typical, and I don't mean to, you know, minimize this in any way, from Juliana, because this is what I hear all the time, and I know you do too, Reggie, working with a lot of folks. Juliana says, so much of the time I feel ugly and not smart or interesting enough. So yeah. She said that I make up stuff to look like I have a lot of fun, a lot of friends, and I really try to look really good in social media, but I'm really tired of trying and feeling so low. It's all fake to me. How can I compete with such hot people out there who are so busy and successful?
Woo. And that is the problem.
Juliana.
That right there is what I was just saying, Juliana.
Yeah.
I mean, the minute that you start comparing yourself with others, it's you know, social media has become both a blessing and something not so good when it comes to people's self-esteem and relationships, because, you know, it's like this. And by the way, I don't have all the specifics in front of me right now, but I read somewhere not too long ago that the vast majority of what you see on social media, on Facebook, and it's actually fake.
Of course.
You know, you know, because who wants to really display, you know, the reality of life?
Yeah.
And so, in fact, even for me, I mean, you can go to my Instagram and you would swear.
Yeah.
You would swear at times that all I do is eat.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I may put a string of, you know, dishes of the restaurants that I like to frequent.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
I like the display in the presentation. So if you look at that, you may say, oh my God, all this guy does is eat.
Yes.
Or you could say, well, I wish that was me, and why is it that it's him and he's so lucky and not me?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
The minute that you do that, you're on the wrong trail.
Yes.
Look inside, and I hate to, you know, it's cliche, but really look inside. You know, we're all children of the Creator. We're all beautiful. We're all special. And we are all called for something, and we're called to contribute. And so the minute that you place your eyes on, you know, comparing yourself with other people, you're not really paying attention to what your contribution on this world is going to be.
Yes. That's beautifully put, Reggie. And thank you, Juliana, so much for being open with us and for sharing that. And you might want to pick up Reggie's book. Let's just tell folks right now how they can get a hold of your book, Reggie, and find out more about you. What's the best way to do that?
Well, they can go to my website at www.reggiepadin. Actually, in Spanish, it's Padin, but Padin is fine too. Reggie Padin at reggiepadin.com. Or if they go to any of the bookstores and they plug in "Get Out of the Dumpster."
Yep.
I think it's the only book out there by that, with that title.
Yes, it is.
Get Out of the Dumpster. They'll be able to get a paperback. Right now, electronically, we only are offering it on Kindle version.
Yep.
So they have to go to Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if they plug in Get Out of the Dumpster, they can download either the Kindle version or the paperback version.
Yeah, that's great. That'll be so helpful to everybody. And Juliana, thank you so much for sending us that email. You know, we both, Reggie and I, hear this all the time. You know, I'm just not enough. I'm not good enough. Look at it. You're right, Reggie. Most of it is really not real. It's just sort of makes us feel like we're on a reality show and how we can fake our lives by looking so happy. We have so many friends and here we're, you know. Tell you, it's just, it's sad. That, you know, we can't just be who we are. Yeah, we can have fun and look like we're having a great time and do selfies and stuff with our friends. But the thing is that it's all how you feel inside your own heart about yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be your own PR person. Well, you can, but you know what I'm saying. It's right. That's what it's all about. I'm going to do my PR. I have 200,000 followers on Instagram, which means I have my act together, and I am an awesome person. Well, not necessarily.
No.
But we're all awesome. We're all awesome in some way, you know?
Yeah.
Guys,
well, and you hear, I tell you, you live in the... You live in the LA area. I live in Miami.
Yeah, you do.
And so you know, there's a lot of pretense and a lot of glitz and glamour and somehow that it's constantly yelling at you, saying, "Hey, this is what you want, and this is how what you have to live up to."
Mm-hmm.
And it's not true. I mean, I've met people who are very pretty and beautiful people on the outside, and are struggling with so many things in their lives.
Yeah.
And the vast majority of it is because they're trying to keep up with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Or they feel they're not worthy. They're not worthy enough in their own, you know, in their own right.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute that you say, no, I'm enough.
Yep.
You know, this is who I am, and without apology. You know, and you start living out your purpose. And again, your purpose in your life, you'll start feeling better about your life, and things will get in perspective.
No, it's true. And you know, you talk about writing down and just really embracing. Look at some of those. When we look at the early moments of our lives, you know, as children growing up, and you know, just sort of the lessons we've learned, like you said earlier, through elementary, middle school, high school, we start kind of getting an idea of who we are, because we have certain passions, whatever they are. We have certain gifts.
Yeah.
Some people are not real social. They go within. You know, like Justin talked about a little earlier, he went in and that's his whole thing was to withdraw from society because he was teased and learned so much about the computer. And now he's really successful management. So we look at our childhood experiences and find out what things worked for us in terms of coping skills, what made us strong, even when we were young. Where did we go in our mind? What fantasies did we have of who we were going to become, and try to grasp onto those fantasies again, right, Dr. Reggie?
Absolutely. And you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I used to do that all the time.
Yeah, what'd you do?
As a child, I remember as a child, you know, I would have, you know, like my parents would buy me these little, you know, cars to play with, and
yeah.
I would, you know, envision this beautiful sports car, right?
Yeah.
And when I was 10, my father, he had a friend who had just bought a beautiful, beautiful, you know, sports car. I won't give the brand, so I,
mm-hmm.
you know, not to
That's okay.
sponsor anybody.
Yeah,
But you know, with the passing of time, to me, you know, I lost track of that, right? Because it was an impossibility. It was only a dream to think about being able to drive or own that vehicle.
Yeah.
And so with time, as I applied myself and worked and, you know, became a little bit more successful and earned a little bit more money. And long story short, I ended up with the same car that I
did. Oh, that's cool.
When I was a child.
So you did imagery and you manifested it, dude.
Absolutely, absolutely. But the same was true with, you know, what I said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a kind of a quiet kid, but I like to help people. I always had, you know, I felt, you know, even my grandparents would tell me that I had a great heart. I would watch, when I was a child, I would watch these commercials, you know, back in the mid-70s, there were these care commercials, you know, where the starving children would appear on television, and I would actually cry and say, I want to help.
Mm.
I want to help someday.
Aww.
And so I always had that heart of helping people live better lives.
Right.
And so look back, you'll find it.
Right, exactly. It's so true. You have such good inspiration. You really do help a lot of people. You talk about having action plans. You know, get going with your action plans, guys, so you can get out of that dumpster. So we're going to do a little tool stuff here right now. So what are some of the ways that folks can focus, that we can all get together on executing our plans of actions and dreams, action plans? How can we just get rolling with that?
Yeah, well, and I what I say in the book is you can change your mindset about what it is that you really want.
Right.
But you got to create a plan of action for mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
Stephen Covey, the late Stephen Covey, said that the highly successful people begin with the end in mind.
Yeah.
And then they work backwards.
Yes.
And so when you find your purpose, right? When you find your purpose, and for me, I'm going to use my example, right? I want to be an educator. And
yes.
So that meant in my case, and this is not for everybody, but
right.
it was for me.
Okay.
I needed a PhD.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
For somebody who is a high school dropout, thinking of getting a PhD can be very overwhelming
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. it is a long, hard journey.
Yes.
However, I broke it down.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And so I said, okay, I need to get my GED.
Right.
And then I need to get a bachelor's degree. And so I remember that from... You know, it was one semester at a time, and I would grab the school catalog,
mm-hmm.
and see the classes that I was supposed to take. And once I completed the classes, I crossed them out.
Yes.
And on to the next semester and crossed
wow.
them out. In fact, I became so driven that I finished my college degree in 3 years instead
Whoa.
Of four.
Wow.
And I took...
You were on
I
it,
took
man.
Summer. I took summer and, you know, and winters and every class that I could take, I took.
Wow.
But that was, in my case, that wasn't enough. I needed mm-hmm. to get a master's degree.
Yeah.
And so I had a career change. That's why I have two master's degrees. The first one is in theology because I was an ordained minister. Mm-hmm. And then I became... involved in the business world, so I needed a business administration, an MBA, and so again, I had to progressively, methodically, purposefully work through that plan.
Yeah,
one semester at a time, one class at a time, until it was done.
Yes.
I remember going into my doctorate, and you know that entailed a dissertation.
Yeah.
And so after all the classwork and the examinations and all of that, then it's, you know, you have to, you know, come up with a theme and something that you want to research and start researching. And
right.
everything is very step oriented.
Right.
Everything.
Right.
If you want to get healthy, like, you know, I was overweight, you know, a few years ago. And my doctor said, look, you gotta control this because if you come back next year, chances are you're going to be on all sorts of medications, you know, the diabetes and high blood pressure and all
right.
types of medications. And so what I had to do was simple.
Mm.
I had to eat less.
Yeah.
And move around more.
Yep. Eat less and move
so
around more, honey.
It's simple. I needed a plan. And I remember I looked at an infomercial, and there was this exercise program on television.
In fact,
it came out of the LA area.
Right.
And I bought it, and it was a 90-day program, and I got up every single day.
Yep.
And the first 90 days turned into, I did a second round, 180 days, and
Whoa.
Then I did another round, and then another round.
That's amazing.
And it became a habit.
Yes.
It became part of my lifestyle.
Yes, yes. Repetition and rehearsal.
And that's why I have something in the book that says, fake it till you make it.
That's exactly right.
There right, because you're not. You know, when I started, I was horribly overweight.
Oh,
but in my mind, I saw myself healthy.
Yes, exactly.
And I saw myself fit.
Right.
And I faked it. I mean, mm-hmm. I faked it when I was poor. When I was really really poor. My wife and I would get up in our beat up car, and
yes.
I used to drive from the rough part of town.
Mm-hmm.
And into the nicer parts of town, and I would, you know, look at the homes where, you know, that I wanted to see my family live in.
Sure.
And that in me, you know, brought upon this confidence, and I began making my own success.
Yes.
Until I made it.
There you go.
That's
exactly right.
But going back to the plan. You have to have a plan. Yeah. Whatever that plan is.
Action plan, baby. Write it out.
And then the other thing is, okay, and this is the beauty of the day and age we live today.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
Whether it's good or bad. There are all sorts of examples, great examples out there that we can follow.
Yes. Yes.
And so if you find your purpose of what you want to do, whether let's say it's singing or dancing or art or education or
whatever,
being a police officer, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at what it takes. Look at the most successful people in those areas.
Yep.
And then study their lives like there's no tomorrow.
Yes.
I have learned from people that I've never met in my life, but my biggest mentors are people who, again, I've never met, but I've read everything they've put out.
Yes.
I've watched their videos.
Right.
I have bought their books.
Right.
I have seen their examples, and I have mimicked those examples.
That's right.
Knowing that it's not, I can't compare myself to them.
Right.
So just because they became, let's say, a billionaire doesn't mean that I'm going to become a billionaire, because if I start doing that, then I'm going to lose heart.
Yes, exactly.
If in the process of doing what I'm doing, I become so good that I become a billionaire, then, you know, that would be, you know, like a cherry on the cake, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly
right. Because you know right. this, Dr. Michelle, you know that money doesn't bring happiness.
No, it doesn't.
it may make things easier. But,
yeah, it does.
Know, I remember fantasizing about my car.
Yeah,
I talked earlier.
Exactly.
I thought to myself, you know, when I get it, I'm gonna feel like I'm a million bucks.
Yep.
And I remember getting the car, and to this day I enjoy my car.
Yep.
But when I got it, it was like, okay.
Okay, next. Exactly. And on that
note,
exactly. And on that note, Reggie, we're running out of time here because this has been such a great show. How can people, again, get a hold of you and find out how to get your book, Get Out of the Dumpster, A True Story on Overcoming Limitations?
They can either go to my website and find out a lot more about what we're doing.
Yep.
At Reggie Padin.
Yep.
reggiepadin.com.
Nice. Yep.
Or if they want to purchase my book, they can go to Amazon.com and type in Get Out of the Dumpster, and they'll be able to see it there.
Ah, Reggie, thank you so much for being on the couch here with me. What an amazing interview. Thank you for all you do for everyone and your great book as well. It's so fun.
Thanks for having me.
Hanging out with you. Reggie Padin, my man, thank you. Have a wonderful day, Doctor.
Thank you.
All right. All right, guys, again, you can go on to the archives tomorrow. We'll have all the information, and you can replay and download the show again and hear how to get out of the dumpster for yourself. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for other people. That's the way it works in the world. Next week, more great self-esteem and self-improvement information to help you get going and be just a happier person. Thanks for listening. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen. Bye-bye now. Flashing rays of colored light.